Meg's a graduate of Boston University, a former Peace Corps volunteer in Mozambique, bringing therefore extraordinarily helpful real-world global experience to our work. Following her Master's of Public Health program in Emory, she completed a fellowship in sexual health at the Satcher Health Leadership Institute at Morehouse School of Medicine. She joined us in 2010 and has really served in a major role in developing many of CDC's efforts to address sexual health, hence her presentation this morning on national efforts to advance sexual health using a public health approach in the U.S., the CDC Sexual Health Initiative. Meg.
Thanks, John. And I want to say that I went to Boston College. I know people get them confused. But otherwise, did a fantastic job. I also want to echo John's sentiments about my excitement about the conversation and chatter around sexual health that I've heard at this conference. And so it's really, I've been completely invigorated by it, and I bring that excitement to this next presentation in which I have the honor of discussing CDC's leadership and investments in sexual health, particularly discussing the CDC Sexual Health Initiative. So with this presentation, I strive to answer two questions. Why should we care about sexual health, and what can we do about it? As Eli just so eloquently explained, we know that sexuality is a fundamental aspect of human life. But we also know that sexuality and sexual behavior can lead to very important public health challenges. With each year, 19 million new STI infections, 1.2 million people living with HIV and AIDS, almost 50% of pregnancies being unintended, and 1.3 million women being raped each year, we know there are serious issues. We also know there are major disparities in who are affected by these public health challenges, particularly racial ethnic minorities, LGBT persons, MSM, disabled persons, and adolescents often bear a disproportionate burden of these challenges. Public health approaches to disease control and prevention have traditionally relied on interventions that focus specifically on screening, treatment, partner notification, et cetera. And while there are many, many examples of successes with these traditional approaches that have resulted in reduced risk and even lower STI rates, we think that categorical, often siloed programs can be improved because they don't account for syndemics, social determinants of health, stigma, nor constrained budgets. These public health issues have great economic cost, costing our nation billions of dollars each year, as well as individuals' emotional, mental, and social impacts, and this in an era of growing challenges in reducing healthcare costs, requiring more cost-effective approaches. So in sum, we're far from where we need to be. But where do we need to be? We think that answer is sexual health. So in 2011, members of the CDC HRSA Advisory Committee, or the CHAC Committee, Sexual Health Work Group, got together to come up with a definition of sexual health that spoke to sexual health in the U.S., addressing our own realities and from a public health perspective. So just to point out that the text in yellow indicates some changes or additions to the WHO definition that Eli just presented. The group determined that sexual health is a state of well-being in relation to sexuality across a lifespan that involves physical, emotional, mental, social, and spiritual dimensions. It's an intrinsic element of human health that's free of coercion, fear, discrimination, stigma, and shame, and violence. It includes the ability to understand the benefits, risks, and responsibilities of sexual behavior, the prevention and care of disease and other adverse outcomes, you can see the elements of public health coming into play, as well as the possibility of fulfilling sexual relationships. The group also thought it was important to acknowledge the impact of social determinants of health, of our sexual health, and how it supports healthy outcomes for individuals and their communities. And just to point out that this definition is pending ratification by the larger CHAC committee. So let's take a step back and think about what determines sexual health. This socio-ecological model presents examples of determinants at the individual, relational, community, and societal levels. We know sexual health affects multiple domains of wellness, which is manifested through various characteristics experienced at the individual level. And it's relevant to persons across their lifespan, or as Eli said, from the womb to the tomb. So at the very least, the takeaway here is the determinants of sexual health are dynamic, the impact of sexual health is broad, and that leaves us a lot of room to intervene. Around the world, there has been an increasing focus on promoting wellness and preventing chronic disease and injury. Over the past decade, there has been increasing interest in addressing public health issues linked to sexuality and sexual behavior through a health promotion approach that recognizes sexual health as an important aspect of the overall health of individuals and communities. A focus on sexual health is consistent with White House, HHS, and CDC priorities. Eli already spoke about the call to action to promote sexual health. In 2010, the National HIV/AIDS Strategy was released, which states that it provides an opportunity for working together to advance a public health approach to sexual health that includes HIV prevention as one component. In 2011, Healthy People 2020 named reproductive and sexual health as a leading health indicator. And in 2011, the National Prevention Strategy had a vision to move the nation from a focus on sickness and disease to one based on prevention and wellness, and also named reproductive and sexual health as one of its top seven priority areas. So if respectful and consensual decisions about sexuality and relationships are personal matters that belong to individuals, then what is CDC's role in sexual health? CDC is the nation's leading public health agency that's committed to ensuring a long, productive, healthy life for all people. CDC has an important role to play in supporting conditions for knowledge, attitude, and skill development to help people make choices that are healthy and right for them. CDC and other agencies are also responsible for assessing and formulating responses to these public health issues by developing programs and policies, conducting surveillance and research, as well as implementing education, professional training, and partnerships. So given the magnitude of public health issues that face our nation, the increasing recognition of the importance of the promotion of sexual health, and our responsibility to act, what can we do about it? Although housed at NCHHSTP, we work with six divisions across three centers at CDC that address issues related to sexual health. At our center, we work with the HIV/AIDS Prevention Division and also the divisions of viral hepatitis, STD prevention, and adolescent and school health. In the Chronic Center, we work with the Division of Reproductive Health, and at the Injury Center, the Division of Violence Prevention. We also have critical input from key external experts through our CDC HRSA Advisory Committee Sexual Health Workgroup. You may have heard in April of 2010, we held a sexual health consultation in order to get feedback on the rationale, visions, and priority actions for a sexual health framework. Experts from a broad range of fields were invited to discuss the history and future directions of sexual health across a lifespan, as well as multi-sectoral perspectives of a sexual health effort. There was strong endorsement by attendees of this shift in focus. Consultants also prioritized potential action steps, which have informed many of our key activities. I already mentioned the CDC definition of sexual health, and as well as a series of activities that I'll talk about in just a few minutes. If you're interested in learning more about the consultation, the meeting report is available on our website, so I encourage you to check it out. CDC proposes to work with partners to catalyze a national sexual health initiative to advance sexual health in the U.S. using a more coordinated public health approach. This initiative is based upon the CDC sexual health framework, which emphasizes the importance of health promotion to enhance core disease control and prevention activities. The framework has the following five key attributes: contextualizes the issues by looking to the determinants of behavior, it emphasizes wellness rather than disease, focuses on positive and respectful relationships, addresses sexuality as an inextricable part of health, and takes a systemic approach to prevention. This is not a specific program per se, but rather a framework or an approach to enhance existing more focused programs. Adoption of a sexual health framework for public health action can support and enhance the efforts of core disease control and prevention programs by engaging new and diverse partners, normalizing conversations, reducing stigma, fear, and discrimination, and enhancing the efficiency and effectiveness of prevention messages and services. So this busy logic model depicts the approach that CDC and partners can take to advance sexual health. So bear with me as I walk you through it. Obviously, CDC can't do this alone. Simply and optimistically put, the Sexual Health Initiative envisions resources from a range of stakeholders as well as collaborative actions that are consistent with a sexual health framework, supporting the six strategies outlined above, leading to outcomes that will enable us to achieve our objective, goal, and vision. So since you probably can't read them in the back, I'll read them out. Our draft strategies include, which is how we'll get there, providing national leadership, enhancing strategic partnerships, expanding and strengthening the science base, including surveillance, monitoring, evaluation, and research, promoting effective policy actions, strengthening infrastructure and training to provide appropriate sexual health services, and promoting awareness and increasing knowledge through communication and education. We think through activities supporting these strategies, we hope to achieve our four objectives. These draft objectives include increasing knowledge, communication, and respectful attitudes regarding sexual health, increasing use of evidence-based education and clinical and other preventive services that improve sexual health, increasing healthy, responsible, respectful sexual behaviors and relationships, leading to a decrease of adverse health outcomes, including HIV and AIDS, STDs, viral hepatitis, unintended pregnancies, and sexual violence. This is what our programs do, and it's important to remain grounded in this objective. So finally, where do we want to be? We have a vision of age-appropriate sexual health for all Americans throughout the lifespan. So I'm going to spend the next couple minutes just talking about activities going on at CDC involving sexual health, and just to point out that my colleague Jamie Leuchleiter will be talking about our national indicator work in just a few minutes. So first, we are currently developing a CDC white paper on sexual health. In order to provide a rationale for this public health approach to address sexual health, to outline the new sexual health framework, to complement core activities, and provide an outline of the initiative as well as examples of potential action by CDC and partners. Essentially, it describes in more detail what I'm talking to you about today. It has, and of course, the intended audience for this document is wide. Colleagues at CDC are also working to conduct a systematic literature review to assess existing evidence and gaps regarding the effectiveness of interventions using a sexual health framework that show decreases in various adverse outcomes of sexual behavior and increasing positive aspects of sexual health. They're doing this by doing a retrospective review of data between 1996 and 2011. They're reviewing interventions, observational data, policy, media, and subpopulations. They conducted a PubMed search with sexual health terms and HIV-STD pregnancy outcomes, and of over 9,000 articles retained, they've reviewed just about 3,000 intervention abstracts, and we'll be working on a review to release in the near future. Of course, we've identified research gaps. There are very few interventions looking at midlife and older adults, and also there's a lack of research to identify sexual health strategies in busy settings with competing priorities. You may have seen our call for papers that came in last fall for a supplement on sexual health for public health reports, and maybe you even submitted a manuscript. Although the submission deadline has passed, please be on the lookout next year, next spring, for this exciting compilation of cutting-edge research regarding sexual health. In order for messaging to have the broadest possible support and impact, it must resonate with a broad range of stakeholders. So to this end, we developed a communication framework for use in talking about sexual health and potential solutions. Researchers did this by conducting an environmental scan and literature review to get a sense of the background. They conducted consultations with non-traditional partners and CDC staff to inform draft messages, which were then tested through one-on-one interviews with experts, as well as a larger web-based survey. This resulted in two emerging themes, which had a series of messages supporting them. So the two themes were navigating a journey in protection and health promotion and wellness. And these themes were most accepted by a wide range of stakeholders. In addition, seven supporting statements on sexual health were also found to be most effective. We're currently working on a communication plan to disseminate these findings for use for you by our stakeholders. And finally, just wanted to point out the important work going on to advance a national coalition to enhance STD and HIV prevention through the promotion of a holistic approach for health and wellness, so essentially our sexual health coalition. This was awarded a partnership for prevention last fall and will be a coalition of strategic partners to advance this sexual health framework. We'll have three focus populations, the general population as well as the focus on adolescents and MSM. And in their first year of action, they're working to engage a leadership team, conducting a SWOT analysis, creating a coalition structure and governance, as well as conducting communication and evaluation planning. We recognize that you are asked to do a lot of things by a lot of people, and that's probably because you're in such a unique position to engage people at all levels, including members of the government, policymakers, programs, and the public. But if you, like us, are convinced in the value of a sexual health framework and want to get involved, I wanted to spend a minute just talking about what SCD programs can do now. First, we advise you to keep abreast of key CDC outputs coming up in the next few months. Please look to our sexual health website, as well as the white paper and the sexual health supplement that will come out next spring. Also be a part of the national mobilization. So we have very important organizations that are working on sexual health. So for example, NCSD, which just changed their motto to promoting sexual health through SCD prevention. And ASHA, both of these organizations and other organizations do incredible work to advance sexual health. We encourage you to support effective policies in your jurisdictions that impact sexual health. NCSD has just developed a new state policy resource center, which has issue briefs and other resources that are available on their website that I encourage you to access. Reach out and engage new and diverse partners, both within and outside of public health. And finally, start talking about the acceptability, the impact, and added value of a sexual health framework. Just to emphasize the importance that now is the time to regain momentum and catalyze national action. Again, while traditional programs have seen many successes, categorical, often siloed programs can be improved to a more positive, health-focused sexual health approach. This framework has great potential, and while implementation depends upon national and local context, we will provide national leadership and encourage efforts by a variety of partners, but it's critical to engage support from your own communities and from broad segments of society in order to achieve population-wide impact. I wanted to acknowledge the incredible team that I have the privilege of working with. And also, while I invite your questions at the end of the panel, I just wanted to encourage you to let us know your thoughts. We're working on an activity with NCSD currently, which is aiming to create an inventory of sexual health activities that are taking place at the state level. So we'll be reaching out to members of state health departments as well as other organizations. And if you receive the survey, we encourage you to participate. But in the meantime, if you have any other ideas about how to make the implementation of the sexual health initiative possible, please let us know, because a lot of the activities that we've been implementing have come from you. So thanks for your work, and thanks for being here to support sexual health.
Meg, thank you very much. Really nice job of covering a lot of work. So a couple minutes now for specific questions for Meg. And I guess we'll use the strategy, since we have an audience. We only have one mic. Shout your question out. We'll try to repeat it so we get it on the mic.
Good morning. I'm not sure if that's in the state of Nevada. While this is an amazing concept, and it's something that I'm sure a lot of us have already conceptualized in our minds, and now it's very nice to see it in potential practice, with initial funds and resources, will the CDC be developing any guidance
John, do you want to take that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, we're struggling now to get the white paper out. So the white paper is a really, we think, important first step document. Somewhat blunt, caught in the crosswinds of current events, and we're hopeful that by the end of the year, we'll have to see if we can get this out. I'll be honest with you, it's not an implementation plan. It has a number of different suggested activities, but it doesn't really have roadmaps in it. And the more we get questions like yours, the more we think the answer probably needs to be yes of a sort. Let me point out that this inventory that Meg has mentioned, we think is really an important first step because, well, I mean, we've got these ethereal ideas from our ivory tower, hopefully not disconnected from the real world, but the most helpful suggestions we've gotten have actually been real-world suggestions. I mean, the state of Oregon has implemented a youth sexual health plan around teen pregnancy prevention. The state of Massachusetts, following one of our presentations at the National HIV Prevention Conference, said, you know, our sexual violence group thinks this is so important, we've created a framework for this. The state of Minnesota, around a chlamydia planning coalition, has developed an approach that involves sexual health. And what we hope this inventory might do is to lead us to pull together some not exactly definitive best practices, but certainly emerging and promising practices. So we don't have concrete plans for that, but your question is, I think, right on the mark towards something we're clearly thinking about. Okay, Meg, wonderful. Thank you.